Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. The nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. We are reading the five verses, very famous five, probably some of the most famous five verses from chapter 13. 20 items of knowledge described here. So the first four have been already discussed before, I was told. Three or four. Tolerance was discussed, or to be discussed. Was discussed. Okay, so the next one is Arjavam, right? Yeah, good. Amanitva madambhitvam. Ahimsa kshantir arjavam. Acharyo pasanam shocham. Staryam atma vinigraham. Okay, let's do the word for word for this first verse. Amanitvam. Humility. Adambhitvam. Pridelessness. Ahimsa. Nonviolence. Kshanti. Tolerance. Arjavam. Simplicity. Acharya upasanam. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Shaucham. Cleanliness. Staryam. Steadfastness. Atma vinigraha. Self-control. And I think we will leave the rest for the rest of the days after today. And let's read the translation. Humility, pridelessness. I've read it too proudly, huh? Humility, pridelessness. Yes. Non-violence, tolerance, simplicity. So that's today's first topic, simplicity. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego. My God, total absence, huh? Not reduction, but absence. It's too difficult, huh? Perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. Detachment. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. Even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. Constant and unalloyed devotion to me. Aspiring to live in a solitary place. Detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So 20 items of knowledge, and let's read the paragraph which begins today's topic, Arjavam, simplicity. Nonviolence, a little more. A little more here. Yes, thank you. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. That's it. So this is as far as Arjavam goes. I will read to the end of this paragraph and maybe also the next one. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential. So we have three very important items here. One is the very first, one is essential, and one is the most important. So the most important is bhakti. The essential is acharya upasanam. And the first of all is humility. So all three are very important, but they are slightly differently named here. So this, we have found the essential, that is essential, acceptance of the spiritual master. Because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regular principles. Hari Bol. Sounds like a really good deal. Immediately and without following. The speed sounds good. The method also sounds very attractive. Right? Or no? Yeah, that's certainly true. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. And I'll read also the next one. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means taking a bath, but for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. Om Agnate Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Yasya prasadada gyupi sadhya sarvagyatam vrajat sashri chatanya devame bhagavan samprasidatu. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me. By His grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Self-realization is the pursuit of truth. And this word used in the verse is arjavam. Arjavam. we have this root, the Sanskrit root, or Indo-European original root, in this word is ridge. Ridge. So we have, ridge means straight. So straightforwardness. So ridge, riju, actually, riju. We have this word in so many Indo-European languages, like when we say right or richtig, that's this root, ridge, yeah, so straight. I'm not sure if we have anything in Slavic from this root. I didn't research, I have to find. But riju means straight. Straightforward, and arjavam means that which is based on being straight, no, like not crooked like this, but straight. And Prabhupada translates this simplicity, but in the purport he explains that this means to tell the truth. One has to be straightforward so that you can tell the truth to everybody, even the enemy, even the enemy. Of course, without diplomacy. Of course, sometimes you get complaints that you speak too much truth. My friend always tells me, Adipurush, don't say all of this in the lecture. Nobody needs to hear all that happened to you. Don't talk about it. Really? Why not? You know, that happened to me. I think it's a good illustration. But as a well-wisher, not only of me, but of many other devotees, Mahabhagavat, my friend, he always says, this you didn't have to speak about. That you didn't have to mention. That, why do you speak about this? Just speak the philosophy. Find some other example to illustrate. So the main thing here is that why we speak the truth and what is the truth. One of these elements is super famous. We see that it's been popularized all over the world. Satyam, truth, is also very popular. That was the slogan of Gandhi, Mohandas Gandhi. Truth, I think it's the slogan of India, Satyagraha, right? Slogan of India, Satyam Eva Jayate, truth will prevail, truth will win. Truth will win, right? Truth. Truth is important. But the other one also is very famous and also very much connected to Gandhi is non-violence, ahimsa. It's super famous. Have you heard about ahimsa or non-violence before Krishna consciousness or outside of Krishna consciousness? Non-violence is big, important, and famous. But Srila Prabhupada would always say, what is this non-violence? How do you find non-violence in the Gita? It's spoken on the battlefield. It's, again, it's somewhat provocative from Srila Prabhupada's side because non-violence is right here. Here it is, non-violence. It's several places. It's mentioned in the Gita also, non-violence. So Prabhupada just was taking it to the extreme. There's few people who are as famous coming from India as Gandhi. He's one of the most famous. He was in the Oval Office of President Obama, and just recently his monument was installed in Great Britain by some prime minister. Something. He's one of the most famous and one of the biggest inspirations. His nonviolent movement, which decolonized, we can say, at least externally, India, has been based on nonviolence. On peaceful protest, nonviolent protest. So it's super famous. So Prabhupada objecting to this is a little bit provocative. He's trying to provoke. What? You're against Gandhi? Against who? Gandhi? You're against nonviolence? Are you a spiritual person? But Srila Prabhupada didn't just try to make a provocation. He said, look here. This is the process. Before nonviolence, you have two more. Amanitam and Adambitam. First, you have to be humble and you have to be prideless. Then you can be nonviolent. Because if you are proud and nonviolent, can you be proud and nonviolent? I think that's Manchakalpatarabhisha, it's called veganism. Sometimes, right? That's why people are afraid if you say something that I'm a vegan or a vegetarian, because they think you are. Again, not all. They're, like we can say, neophyte, Kanishta veganism. Yes? That you try to smash everybody over the head, that something like this, right? It's not so attractive. In fact, people are oftentimes put off, are repulsed by this. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada puts them in a sequence. He says, this is number one, humility. Number two, prideless. Number three, nonviolence. So that also brings us to the proper building, proper construction of this quality in ourselves. Because sometimes we see somebody angry, and someone angry can be very inspired to tell the truth. Right? And they say, I'm telling the truth. And they say, it's truthful, it's spiritual, I have to tell the truth. Correct. You have to tell the truth. But following Srila Prabhupada's recipe, tell the truth based on humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, and tolerance. And then you tell the truth. If you tell the truth like this, if you tell the truth not because you can't tolerate something, not because you want to give pain to somebody, right? Sometimes it's true. It's true. Certainly true. But I'm saying this in such a way that the person should feel, pain. And then I feel, yes. Did you get it? You're like this. Oh, yes, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Don't object. It's spiritual. Accept it. What? Are you against the truth? So such truth also will not be Acceptance. Yes, so nonviolence, tolerance, and humility. If I'm like this, and then I tell the truth, it will be very effective. It will be very effective. So that's following Srila Prabhupada's recipe here. That how we can apply these qualities. These 20 qualities are called 20 sadhanas. They do not just fall from the sky without any work. And the work, apparently, you can see, based on Srila Prabhupada's instructions, begin from here. From the first to, in sequence, to this first non-violence, sorry, first pridelessness, humility, then non-violence, then tolerance, and then truthfulness, being truthful and honest. Also, this principle of truthfulness is explained in the Bhagavatam 11:19. There is a beautiful series of verses, the best of everything. 19:36-39. So there, Krishna also tells Uddhava what is truth. He says, Satyam cha samadarshanam, anyat cha sunritavani. He explains that truthfulness is being equal in our vision. So seeing people equally. And equally doesn't mean that I equally hate everybody, right? Like that, well, it's not what he means. It means that I equally wish good, and I equally see the spirit in everybody. Yesterday, Ojas Viprabhu shared some realization that you can. How did he speak about this Shantarasa? That respect begins with Shantarasa. Yes. That first I have to understand. I have to understand who I am, and then I will that I'm spirit. Then I will understand who others are, that they are also spirit means they are persons, and then I will feel respect. Yeah? So it begins from understanding that I'm spirit, he is spirit, we are all spirit, not in the sense of the Beatles. I am you and you are me and we are all together. Elementary penguin chanting Hare Krishna. Not in that sense. Chanting Hare Krishna is okay, but elementary penguin maybe not. But in the sense of having some appreciation of my nature, and then there will be ability to appreciate others. If I hate myself, it's very difficult to love others. And somehow or other, self-hatred is a very popular pastime of the modern world, the modern people. Yes, I heard that somebody asked Dalai Lama, what do his meditation texts recommend for self-hatred? And he was surprised. He said, this is a very new phenomenon, because self-hatred is not described in his texts. But when do we hate ourselves? When we see some conditioned coverings of myself, when I don't see anything real, anything essential in myself. And then I will also be tempted to disrespect others. If I hate myself, then others, I will have to also drag down. It will be difficult to respect them. So therefore this samadarshanam, equal vision, seeing everybody equally, begins... thank you very much. begins with seeing that I'm also a spirit. A spiritual being. So this is what Srila Prabhupada also describes next when he speaks about cleanliness. That cleanliness means to take a bath, and taking bath is very nice. Yes. And we are lucky that Kali Yuga has been changing. If you go to... Yes, yes. If you go to old houses, there is no showers. In old houses, no showers. Even no toilets, actually. Maybe one on the floor. Yes. And even 40, 50, 60 years ago, it was normal to take bath once a week or once a month. You know, you would pack, go to the bathing house or sauna or something, take bath. So, and deodorants were too expensive. So we can thank God that, oh, thank God people take shower these days. Yes. It's ahimsa, yes. It's it's a good way to practice nonviolence. Compassion to others, taking shower. Yeah. Yes, yes. But also, that's nice. It begins to also change our consciousness. If I feel clean, I will behave differently with others. But also, there is another type of cleanliness. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes that if you cannot take shower with water, take shower with chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is actually the more important shower, the more important cleansing process, cleaning our consciousness, cleaning the mirror of our heart and our soul from the dust of illusion and misconceptions. So that is also possible by following the spiritual master, Guru Parampara. So Prabhupada says that either you become immediately advanced or it becomes easier, so when there is an instruction of the spiritual master. So it has some very special power. Somehow when I was reading this, I remembered one experience I had with Aindra Prabhu. It was after Kartik. Indra Prabhu would go to the Katyayani temple, chanting the famous mantra, Krishna, oh, dear Katyayani, make Krishna my husband. So he was chanting very seriously. Some of his followers were chanting this also, but looking somewhat, I have just one of them in my mind who was chanting this, but he was looking a little bit puzzled. How am I going to be the wife of, I mean, how will Krishna be my husband? So he was chanting, and then I remember we went, and it was, I think, the first day, and they gave us a piece of paper, or rather cardboard, hard cardboard, with the arati to Katyayani Devi, and then there was one verse, one verse at the bottom, which we came, and then he told me, translate what it says here. So I translated one verse, another verse. I think I translated that arati. And then we came to this verse, and I read and I understood each word. Each word separately I understood. But together, I had no idea. I was looking and looking at this word, at this verse, very nice verse. And then I said, Aindra Prabhu, I can understand each verse, each word in the verse, but how do they come together? I have no idea. So then he looked at me and he said, just read it. So I looked back at the paper and blah, 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 I understood. He just gave me the order, you know. I have the same... similar experience to what you have read probably in the biography of Jagannath Das Babaji and his disciple. What was his name? Bihari, I think, his disciple was, right? He was illiterate, and he gave him Chaitanya Charitamrita and said, read it. He said, but I'm illiterate. He said, just read it. And he looked and he started reading. And then he was playing mridanga. No, he gave him mridanga and said, play. He said, but I never learned. He said, just play. And then boom, 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 boom. He started playing. So it's something similar. I didn't understand. He said, come on, Adi, just read. And I understood what it says. So what this verse says, it's a very beautiful verse. Vyadasya charanam druvasya chavayo vidyagajendrasya ka kubjaya kimunam arupam adhikam kim tatsudam nodhanam vamsha ko vidurasya yadavapater ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tu shedi kevalam nachagunair bhakti priyo madhavam. What was the perfect character and behavior of the hunter called Dharma? He's even mentioned, sometimes it says butcher. Butcher Dharma, sometimes it says hunter Dharma. Maybe this is the Mrigari. Mrigari liberated by Narada. I don't know exactly. There is one story about butcher Dharma in the Mahabharata. I'm not sure which one, but he's mentioned even by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita. Some dharma, hunter dharma or something. So this is like a list of rhetorical questions. What was the beautiful character of the hunter? Hunter is a hunter. It's not a good, this sport is not very sporting. You know, going killing animals. What was Dhruvasya Chavayo? Where was the mature age of Dhruva? He was a little boy. Vidya Gajendrasya Ka? Where was the great wisdom of the elephant Gajendra? Where is the great wisdom of the elephant? Kubjaya kimunam arupam adhikam. Where was the great beauty of the hunchback Kubja? Where was Sudamodhanam of the poor Brahmana Sudama? Where was his great wealth? They had one Sari Doti Doti Sari for two of them, for the two of them, him and his wife. So they couldn't go. They couldn't live together, apparently, right? That's what I heard. Vamsha ko vidurasya. Where was the great aristocratic position of Vidura? So he was the son of a Shudrani, and so he was not considered completely equal to his imperial brothers, Pandu and Dhritarashtra. And where was the great military power and victorious courage of Ugrasena? Even his own son threw him in jail, Kamsa, and did all kinds of horrible things. So this is a list of rhetorical questions. Where was the wealth of Sudama? Where was the beauty of Kubja? Where was the mature age of Dhruva? And then the conclusion is Bhaktya Tushiti Kevalam. Only by bhakti is Madhava pleased, not by any material qualities. Not by the material qualities. Again, it doesn't mean that you should be poor, you should be ugly. This was one of the first lectures by Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj, where I accepted him as my spiritual master, where he says, it doesn't mean that only that Krishna consciousness is only for poor, ugly, uneducated, and of very low birth. No. All these things are completely, they are Krishna's blessings. But not these things in themselves are what pleases Krishna. So, bhakti is the natural activity of the soul, and it's not something foreign, it's not something unnatural. This is something that is the nature of every living entity, to exchange love. That's every living entity has this ability to exchange love. Just somehow recently I saw on some devotee's page a nice story about some little girl doing some, her father took her to take honey from the beehives. Have you read it? You know? And they collected honey from the beehives. I don't know. Has anybody seen how the honey is collected from the beehives? My grandfather was doing this. He had, near his church, he had three beehives. So he pulls out that frame, and then there is a stick. So he puts it on the stick. No, that's fancy. You know, if you eat the if you eat the, what do you call it? Comb, the honeycomb. That's called the honeycomb. If you eat the honeycomb, that's wow, that's super luxury. But he puts this frame on a stick, and then he rotates it so that it, with a centrifugal force, it drives the honey out, and then it flows down. So I saw this ancient contraption, ancient device to do it. Anyway, so there are different kinds of things to collect honey. And in this story, they collected honey, and then they brought honey, and when they brought, they saw three honeybees completely drowned in the honey near the top. So the girl said, let's save these three honeybees. And the father said, no hope. They are completely drowned in honey. So what will you do? It's, you know, nothing to do. So then the girl said, at least let us take these bees and put them outside. So they took these completely gooey, honey-covered bees, like, you know, like completely drowned in honey, and they put them outside in the garden, and then they went back to finish whatever they were doing. And then after half an hour, she said, let's go see, do these bees still live? So they went, and lo and behold, near these three bees, there was a big number of other bees who were flying and licking them and trying to make them clean. So on their own, they were hopeless. Themselves, it's a done deal, hopeless case, dead. Just, you know, a few minutes from dead. But when they get association of the other honeybees, of their sisters, because they're, apparently they're all girls, the honeybees who collect. So they are sisters, help them by cleaning them. So they saw that two of these honeybees are almost clean. They start moving their wings. So then they went back, and then when they again came out, no bees were there. All the place was empty. So it seems that the hopeless cases of the drowned bees, when they got help of their sisters in honey work, they got saved from a sure death. So, so many stories are there that even some insects, some little animals, stupidest, we can say, creatures, still have this capacity to exchange love, to engage in helping others, giving love and getting love. So that's the nature of the soul. And if we do this in the devotee association, if we do this with the purpose of regaining our eternal position with Krishna, if we try to recover our loving relationship with the center of all creation and the center of all the universes, then, first of all, this is the truth. This will be the true position. We will be Arjavam. This is the true simplicity. The true simplicity is to be who we are. This will be the true cleanliness. This will be the true humility and pridelessness. This will be the true knowledge. And this will be the true tolerance and through all the other good qualities in bhakti. So bhakti is the most important of all these. Bhakti is the source of all these. Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that bhakti is the queen, and the other 19 here are the maidservants. So if you have a queen, she will have many royal maidservants. Yes. So these 19 items of knowledge, good qualities, are the beautiful maidservants of the queen of bhakti. So if we install bhakti on the throne in our practice, then we will attract these other maidservants. But also, we should not chase them away. You know, when Prabhupada says, be tolerant, be straightforward, be tolerant, be nonviolent, then yes, they are maidservants. We should not offend also the maidservants of bhakti. Then with this beautiful process, with the beautiful instructions of Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, we will be able also to regain our beautiful life in eternal Krishna consciousness, in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Some questions, comments, points? Thanks everybody for coming, for listening, joining. Yes, Prabhu? I guess because sometimes you have internet there. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Okay. I have a question regarding this simplicity. So you mentioned right now at the end that simplicity in a way means to be who we are.
Yeah.
However, that can sometimes hurt others.
Hurt?
Yeah, to be who we are. Maybe who we are doesn't really make the puzzle for other beings around, other
who
people.
Who we are may not be.
It will not make the puzzle for others. It will make, it's going to be.
Will not match.
Yeah, it's going to be harder for them to, do one service or another because you behave in a certain way or you are in a certain way. So simplicity sometimes seems to when we are telling, for example, other devotees that they are wrong in a way, mm-hmm. but we cannot do that because we need to be humble. We need to. Not speak
exactly.
too much
and not be violent.
That's the recipe from Krishna. But however, how can we still be simple and give instructions? How can we do that without seeming to be proud of ourselves? Without how can we exactly give these instructions to maybe to also senior devotees and not be offenders?
Mm. Okay, so I think this is like four or five questions in one.
Yeah, the main question is how to behave in simplicity.
That's number six.
No, yeah, it's the last one is the most important.
Yeah, like for example, how do I go and instruct senior devotees? Right, sounds like a good question. Okay, I can pick which I want to answer, actually. So, you mentioned being ourselves and then being honest and then not hurting others. Yeah, thank you. It's a very deep and important issue. And the additional clarification for it is, which self should I be? I should be myself, but my which self? My tamasic self, my clean self, my festival self, my hungry self, my happy self, my spiritual self, my grumpy self. So we all know we have different selves, different levels. And then also on these different levels we have different modes and different aspects. So why don't you be your best self? Right? Why not? Why not be your best self? In English they have this expression, to put your best foot forward. It's a little funny because we have only 2 feet, There's not so many feet that we choose. Which is my best foot? This. I have only 2 feet and they are pretty much similar. But still, I can try to be at least a little better. A little better in my relationship with others. And that definition of truthfulness from Canto 11, Krishna says, he doesn't stop at saying that we should be equal. He says, anyaccha sunritavani. He says, truthfulness means sweet words. Sweet words. Truth is sweet. If truth is real, if truth is eternal, truth must be blissful. Reality, the beautiful. Truth must be sweet. Truth must be beneficial. Truth must be helpful. Truth must inspire and uplift. Right? If it depresses, it's some strange truth. If it creates depression, right? We have to find. So he says, sweet truth is sweet. Truth is sweet, sweet words. So we want to be ourselves, but in such a way that we want to be our best selves, and we want to act in such a way that it helps everybody around. And if we have only bitter words, it's probably better to ask permission. Can I share some bitter words with you? And maybe you have some good friend with whom you can exchange bitter words. Bitter is okay. Bitter is a taste. Bitter, you know, is part of the carob substitute. The most popular sweet, yes. So, bitter is okay to exchange, but maybe ask permission before exchanging bitter words. Any more comments or questions on this? It's a big topic, so being ourselves and not hurting others. In the 17th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says, because there is five austerities of speech. So it says, anudvega karam vakyam. You speak words that do not disturb. Satyam priyahitam. They have to be true. They have to be pleasant. So two times, not disturbing and pleasant. And hitam, great benefit. And svadhyaya bhyasanam. They have to be based on the shastra. Supported by Shastra. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. So you can agitate strategically the minds of your students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students, if he will agitate their minds. So you can agitate, but ask, can you be my student? Prabhu, can you please be my student for 5 minutes? And if it's a senior devotee, they will say, okay, just a moment. How many say? 5 minutes, okay, but go. 5 minutes, they will let you teach them, right? Okay.
I was just thinking about this simplicity that Prabhupada writes, that one should be so simple that
straight yeah.
That even to his enemies
he can tell the truth.
He should tell the truth. Yes, I was just thinking about, you know. In one hand, we have Bhishma, who was, and Dronacharya. I was just thinking about those two cases. Bhishma said to the Pandus how he can be killed.
Yes. Bhishma instructed Yudhishthira how he can be killed. Yes, that's amazing. True, correct. And Dronacharya taught his, destiny. Drishtadyumna, who was supposed to kill him.
But on the other hand, we can see Dronacharya when Ekalavya was there, he didn't want to
teach him.
To teach, yes, because the philosophy
of Brahman
also he was
saying
because this is a
quality for Brahman. He considered, actually, Bhaktisiddhantaji lists Ekalavya as a demon. Lists Ekalavya as one of the demons who exploited his relationship. Basically, he by force. So in other words, as far as I understand, Dronacharya didn't want to teach Ekalavya because he didn't have proper motives. He didn't have proper motives. He didn't have the proper character. He was very knowledgeable in the science of accepting the spiritual master or a teacher, any teacher. You can learn quickly anything by such approach, right? Even in the material world, material sciences, if you are like this. My sister would always tell me in my childhood that be polite, be nice, be kind. Слухняне телятко двох маток се. That a gentle calf drinks milk from two cows. I said, no, you should tell the truth. Okay. So even in the material world, some kind of a polite and respectful behavior helps you to achieve your goals. But the motives were not really proper, so therefore at the end the Kalavya was reduced to not be being the best in the world. So a brahmana or a spiritualist or a sadhu does not mean stupid. Kind is okay. You know, being kind doesn't mean being stupid. Prabhupada, you know, now with the war, so much discussion was there. What is politics? What is righteous? What is religious war? So Prabhupada says, you know, when somebody comes to kill your family and burn your house, Vaishnava doesn't mean that you say, yeah, please kill them. He says, no, that's not a Vaishnava. You go and kill him immediately. Or in the, where is it? In the fourth canto, Prabhupada says that you see everybody equal. You see the spirit and Krishna also in the tiger, but you do not embrace the tiger. I mean, in most cases. Some cases, maybe. If you are certain. In most cases, you don't embrace the tiger. So in other words, it's reasonable. This Yanisha Sarabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami, famous verse that what is night for ordinary beings is a day to the sage, and what is night for the sage is a time awakening, the opposite, right? So it says Sanisha Pashyato, the sage Mune, this Muni, the sage sees these material activities as night, and Vishnachakravarti Thakur says, but he still sees; he's not blind. He can see; he understands. He's not blind. He doesn't cover his eyes. He can see. He does not get involved in some certain activities, but he's not blind. He can see what is what, in that sense. So Dronacharya could see, oh, a Kalavya is very serious, but he's not the proper person to become the top bowman of the world. But so this is different degrees we have. We have the theory and we have a practical application, how to put it all in life. And then ultimately the testing ground for all this knowledge is our harmonious interactions in Krishna consciousness. Are we able to help the other honeybees and get help from the other honeybees so that altogether we can produce more and more honey? Is it possible, right? Because if I am an angry bee biting every other bee, then if I drown in honey, which doesn't sound like such a bad death also, but still, if I drown in honey, they will not clean my wings, maybe, right? But if I help others clean their wings and ask for their help to clean my wings, and then together we produce more and more honey for Krishna, that's the perfection of life and Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.